Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Hey, I've been praying for you. Always I pray for you, but more specifically this week, because I have this conviction from the Lord for you. If this is all you have, meaning while I am very thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that you are worshiping Him on this platform online, but it is the will of Jesus Christ that you connect in a local body of Christ. Yes, in a tangible, concrete expression of the fullness of Jesus Christ, His presence, where? In a local church. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit is challenging you, inspiring you, and commanding you to find a local church. If you live in Edmonton, I pray that Mosaic House Church is where the Lord is sending you. But if you live outside of Mosaic House, if you live outside of Edmonton, find a local church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Lord. May the Lord Christ convict you and challenge you with this. Okay, I want to start by telling you something that I've heard. There was a man who prayed every night. He would go to this church in downtown and he would pray on his knees. And this is what he prayed every night. Oh, holy God, I want to see your face. Night after night, he said the same prayer. Oh, holy God, I want to see your face. One morning, people came into the church and they found the man dead on the floor. What is the moral of the story? When we see this holy, holy, righteous God, the one who lives in an unapproachable light, the one who is so transcendent, he is beyond this world. And when I, as a sinful man, God is holy, I am defiled. God is righteous, I am sinful. When I go into his holy presence, you know what's going to happen? I will be destroyed utterly. And that is the moral of the story. Let me give you two examples from the Bible. First, from the book of Exodus. When this holy God came down from heaven, he wanted to reveal his presence, his glory, to the people of Israel. So his presence came upon the Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And the Bible says, this mountain was filled with lightning, thunder, winds, and smoke, and the earth shook. And all these descriptions were trying to convey to the Israelites, this is a holy God. Be careful, holy God. And God commanded them, do not come near the mountain. Don't let anyone touch the mountain. Because if you do, you will die. Not as in God is waiting to kill you. No, by the sheer force and the glory and the majesty of His holiness, we will be zapped, as if when a moth flies too close to a flame, it is zapped. Similarly, God who is holy, and I who is unholy, defiled, sinful, when I go into God's presence, I will be zapped. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah was taken to heaven in his vision. And he found himself in the presence of the holy God. There were angels, seraphims, and this is his response. You know what he said? This prophet, Isaiah, holy man, by any standards of human standards, right? Okay. He said, woe is me, woe is me, I am ruined. Why? He goes on to say, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I live among the people with unclean lips. What was he saying? He was saying, I am unholy, and I'm in the presence of God. I am ruined. I am ruined. Friends, here is biblical truth. God is holy, and I'm not. God is righteous, and you're not. And yet, this holy God is also loving and good and kind and generous. He wants you and me in His presence. He wants you and me to live with Him. He wants you and me to experience His glory. We need this holy God. We were created by this holy God. We were redeemed by this holy God. And we are being sustained by this holy God. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He wants us and we need Him. And yet, here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. We cannot enter into His holiness. Neil Plantinga was one of my professors at Calvin Seminary. And I learned this truth from him. He said, And let me quote, "Sin stands in the way between God and his children like a cactus." What a good description. The unholiness, my defilement, in other words, my sin stands in the way between this holy God and this broken man, like a cactus. When Johanna, my daughter, when she was about 10 months old, I used to take her into the shower with me because I was a poor seminarian student and I wanted to save the bath water. So I thought, hey, I'm taking a shower. I'm just going to wash my baby as well. 10 months old, this bundle of flesh, my own bone. And I held Johanna, 10 months old, in my bosom. And I made sure that the water is just the right temperature. And I would walk into the shower. And the first reaction she would have is, she'd go like this when the shower hit her back. And then she'd cling onto me. And I so remember that vividly as if it were yesterday. Because as a parent, I held my daughter, my child, in my bosom, and we were in the same presence. She loved me, and I loved her more. See, that is a beautiful picture, but sin or unholiness, my defilement, stands between this Father, Heavenly Father, and me like a cactus. He wants to embrace me. He wants to hug me. He wants me in his presence, but my sin, my unholiness stands in the way like a cactus. And this is God's dilemma. He had to remove the cactus. He had to remove the sin that stands in the way. And so, friends, today, I want to take you to the book of 1 Peter, because this is all about living hope. And that's our current series, Living Hope, Better Together. And today, it's better together in building. When Christ becomes your living hope, when Christ reveals his glory and holiness to you, we get to experience his living hope, and it's always better together as the community, as the body of Christ, coming together because we are building something together. Would you pray with me? O holy God, righteous God, the one in whom there is no darkness, the one who lives in an unapproachable light, the Holy One. Oh, would you cleanse my unclean lips? Would you cleanse my heart, my mind, and my body and my soul? And more importantly, I pray, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you do the same for my friends who are joining me in this worship? In the name of Christ, we want to give you all the glory. Amen. Use the sermon outline, which you can download from the resource tab, and follow along in this message. And it's called Better Together in Building. Receive the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks to be God." Friends, I believe this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to receive, remember, believe, and embrace. The theme is this. Please write these words. Jesus Christ is building you into the temple of the Holy Spirit as its living stones. Jesus Christ, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, the Sustainer God of you. He is building you and me, all of us, into the temple of the Holy Spirit as its living stones. Do you see in front of me a visual aid, something by which I may be able to convey to you the deep truths of what you're hearing, and something that by which you may remember and retain what is being communicated here? Bricks. You are like living stones, because we're coming to Jesus Christ, the living stone, and we are being built into the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think of the magnificent, glorious temple in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And you and I are being built into that temple as what? As living stones, brick by brick, stone by stone. Jesus Christ is laying you upon himself, the living stone, one by one, and each brick is being laid upon the foundation, the living stone, and each brick is being laid upon other bricks, one at a time. You are a living stone. I am a living stone, and we all together, we're being gathered together and built into the temple of the Holy Spirit by the hand of Jesus Christ, the divine architect, the divine builder. Now, I want to tell you how and why. How is Jesus Christ building you and me into the temple of the Holy Spirit as his living stones? And then the second part is, why? Okay, first, how? Number one, Jesus Christ is calling you, come to the living stone, with the definite article, the living stone. He is calling you. Look at verse 4 and 5. This is the key verses. Unlike the Apostle Paul, whose epistles, writings are clear, logical, sequential, the Apostle Paul's writings are, may I use the word, kind of like ADD. He's all over the map, as if he has so much he wants to say. There's richness and mystery and depth and breadth in what he's trying to convey by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is not sequential. He is all over the map. But verses 4 and 5, these are the key verses. Let me read it to you one more time. As you come to him, Christ, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God, and precious to him, God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be what? To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Friends, the Apostle Paul is saying the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is the living stone. It's kind of like an oxymoron, isn't it? Huh? Living stone. We use expressions like, you know, dead as stone. Stones are inanimate. They don't have life. And yet, Peter's saying, it's a living stone. What's an oxymoron? Oxymoron is two contradictions put in together, like short sermons, like jumbo shrimp. But the living stone is a glorious description of what Jesus Christ is, who he is. He is the living stone. He's alive. He's living. And as such, he gives life to other stones, to you and me. We are like living stones. As we come to Jesus, Christ is calling you and me. He says, as you come to him, as you come to him, because he's calling you, come. Come to the living stone. And as you come, you are becoming living stones yourselves. Down further, the Apostle Paul uses Jesus Christ descriptively. Not only is he the living stone, he is also the cornerstone. In the ancient architecture, the cornerstone is the most important stone. 2,000 years ago in Israel, this temple that was built in the city of Jerusalem, it was a magnificent, glorious architecture. But in those years, everything was built upon the cornerstone. Cornerstone is the most important stone in building because it's the first stone that was laid. Let me give two words, orientation and foundation. Orientation. This is why the cornerstone was the most important and most expensive and most precious and most important. I think I said it already. Orientation. Once the cornerstone is laid, all the lines and all the angles of this foundation, of this building, is aligned, oriented according to the cornerstone. So the cornerstone has to be perfect, perfect in its line, its cut, because if it weren't, then the rest of the building would be crooked. That's the orientation. It's the reference point for everything. Foundation. The cornerstone has to be the first stone laid, and it has to be the toughest and the strongest stone, because it must bear the weight of all the stones upon which it is laid, right? Okay, all the stones are laid upon the cornerstone, and that's why it has to be the strongest and the toughest. And hence, the cornerstone was the most important, most expensive, and most precious. And Jesus Christ is that cornerstone of the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, don't you know, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, don't you know, you yourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit, in which the Spirit of the Holy God lives. Let me take you to John chapter 2. Jesus answered the people. He answered them saying, destroy this temple, the Jerusalem temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Friends, here's the thing. The problem that God had with us is, remember, he loves us. He wants us in his presence. He wants to embrace us. He wants to hug us like the way I hugged my daughter Johanna. Okay? But what stands in the way? Our unholiness, our sin, and like a cactus. And he had to remove it. He had to remove that. Otherwise, he could never, never have us in his presence. We could have never entered into his holiness. God's solution is temple. Temple and priesthood. Temple. So temple was the place where God's holy presence came down. His presence was not everywhere. He said, I will come down and I will live with you, but I can only do that in the confines, in the protection of the temple for your sake, so that my holiness will not consume you. So that was the temple. And temple is the place where people came. And at the temple, God appointed priests, mediators, to remove the sins, our sins, through sacrifices. I'll come back to that, okay? And here comes Jesus. You want access. You need access to this holy God. And you thought it was a temple? Not anymore. I am the ultimate temple. I am the holy of holies. Only through me you may enter into the holiness of God. This is why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, because he is the only access, because he is the holy temple for us, through which we can enter into God's holiness. So Jesus Christ is calling you into to become living stones. Now, let me write this down. I want you to write these words down. It's written down for me already. Jesus Christ is your holiness and righteousness. Very important. This is all about the need for our temple. Okay. Let me take you to verse 6, which we read. This is such a hard thing to understand, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, I may be able to explain it to you. Verse 6, listen. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, yes. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And listen to this. Let's read verse 8 together. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Friends, listen. Two truths about the cornerstone. Those of you who believe, this cornerstone is precious because whereas you trust in Him, you will never be put to shame. You are confident as you come to the living stone, the cornerstone. But those of you who don't believe, this is a stumbling block because this cornerstone of Jesus Christ, it will cause you to stumble. And this is the rock that will make you fall. So what's the meaning? What's the meaning of this? The Apostle Paul thanks God for him. In Romans chapter 9, he gives the explanation. Let me take it there. Listen, what then shall we say? That the Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? But the people of Israel, who pursue the law as the way of righteousness, have not attained their goal. And why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. Listen to this. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Jesus Christ must become your holiness and righteousness. I am not holy, neither are you. I am not righteous, and neither are you. That's why Christ has to become your holiness and your righteousness. He gives you, Jesus Christ is the only person who ever lived who was absolutely holy and absolutely righteous, because Christ is God Himself. So as you come to the living stone, as you come to the temple, Jesus Christ, the presence of the ultimate God, He gives you His holiness. He gives you His righteousness. We call it grace. By the grace of Christ, we attain through faith. And that's what Paul is saying. We simply received it. We didn't earn it. We didn't obtain it. We didn't obey God's commands of holiness. We couldn't, even if we wanted to. But the people of Israel, the Jewish religious leaders, they tried to obtain the holiness. How? By observing the law, by obeying God's decrees, by trying to obtain this righteousness, holiness. For those of you who put your trust in the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, you will never, never be put to shame because you receive His credit. But those of you who try to earn it, you will stumble. You will fall. Because Christ says you could never receive it. You can never obtain it on your own. Rather, you can never attain it. It's beyond your grasp. There are two types of people in this camp. Those who try to attain it and want to feel superior over others, and they become self-righteous before God. Because, look, I obey God, I obey the Bible, and I do all these things, and therefore God must accept me. I am acceptable. Jesus says, And that's why He's a stumbling block. He says, you can never do it. And other people who simply say, I don't try any of these, I just try to live a good life on my own. And Christ says, you will stumble and this rock will fall upon you. So here's a challenge, friends, before we move on. Is Jesus Christ really the cornerstone of your life and of your being? Do you find yourself doubting or being shaken? Because if you do, you are losing your focus. You got to fix your eyes upon the cornerstone, the foundation, the irremovable foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And that's why you will never be put to shame, because you are putting your confidence not in your performance, but in the performance of Jesus Christ. So that's how. So let's, before I move on to the why part. So what's going to happen once we become the temple of the Holy Spirit and He's the living stones? What is the purpose? One purpose is so that you may become a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ to God. So let me take you there. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The Apostle Paul, he gives three metaphors. Okay? Number one, you are a chosen people. Verse 9, he is quoting, guess what? Isaiah chapter 43. Peter is referencing back to the Old Testament time after time. In this short passage, I counted over 20 references of the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, God speaking, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have," what? "I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He." Isaiah 44, verse 1. "Now listen, Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen." God says to you and me, you are a chosen people, not choice people. Choice people, what's the difference? Choice people is God is choosing us because we are choice people. We have attained our own credit, our own holiness. We are actually good. We are actually performing well. And therefore, God has chosen. No. We are unacceptable. We are unholy. We are defiled. We are sinners and we are sinful. And yet, we are chosen by God. It's because He's so kind and so good and so generous. Second, a holy nation. Again, the Apostle Peter is quoting the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 7. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession." You are a holy nation. You are not just individuals. You are a collective body of Christ, His people. I'll come back to that in my application. And lastly, and I'm going to hunker down in this metaphor, you are a holy priesthood. Holy priesthood. This goes back to the temple and priesthood, right? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6, "And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God." Friends, let's talk about royal priesthood. What's a priest? What's a priest? Priest is a people set aside by the Lord, appointed by the Holy God, to minister between the Holy God Himself and the defiled people in the temple. Priests, therefore, they did two things, more than two, but let me just focus on two. First one is they offer sacrifices on behalf of the sinful people, unholy people, in the presence of the Holy God. So they brought sacrifices, animals, lambs, goats, so that their sins can be atoned for by the animal sacrifice. Second function of the priest is between, as the mediator between the Holy God and the unholy, defiled, sinful people, the priest would minister by interceding on their, the priest would pray on behalf, they would intercede for the people to the Holy God. People couldn't pray to God on their own. They had to bring their offerings, their prayers through the ministry, the mediation of the priests. And write these words: Jesus Christ is the ultimate high priest. Christ, not only is He our sacrifice for sin atonement, He is the high priest. And that's why we don't have any more priests. Because Christ was the ultimate priest and the last one and the everlasting high priest for us. We don't need any more animal sacrifices because Jesus is the ultimate Lamb of God once and for all. Would you come to me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11? Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, this is Jesus Christ, the high priest, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for his sins, for sins himself, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for the enemies to be made his footstool. Let's read verse 14 together. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Did you catch that? You are being made holy. The action is by the Lord Christ, because Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, and he is the ultimate high priest. He is the ultimate, therefore, mediator between you and the holy God, and this high priest is making you holy, because he's calling you. He is making you into the temple of the Holy Spirit as his living stones. So therefore, let me just give two applications. May I? So you are what? A living stone. And therefore, your function is that of the priest, not just any priest, royal priest in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Two applications. Number one, serve as a royal priest to seekers by bless, B-L-E-S-S. Remember, you have access to the Holy God through the high priest, Jesus Christ, because you are a living stone, because you came to the living stone, and you have access. You get to intercede on behalf of your friends who are far away from God. I call them seekers. Seekers. Because God is seeking after them. Jesus is looking for them. He is going after them through you, using you. And Christ says, since you're a priest, bless them. Bless them. B-L-E-S-S. Write these words. B stands for, begin with prayer. Pray for them. Lord Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. Begin with prayer. L, listen to their story. As you pray for them, as you are in this relationship with them, listen to their story. Don't talk too much. Don't preach to them. Simply listen. Preaching will come later, but you got to learn how to listen to what? To their story. Story of their unholiness, brokenness. Let them speak their hearts to you. Begin with prayer. Listen to their story. E stands for eat with them. When the high priest came, Jesus Christ, you know what he did? His number one activity. He ate with sinners. He had dinners. He had breakfasts. He had lunches. Maybe even desserts. With sinners. Because when you eat with them, you get to love them. When you eat with them, you get to hear their story. S stands for serve. Meet their needs. Meet their needs. You will have ample opportunities to what their needs are. Because as you build relationship, as you bless them, they open up to you, and they share their story, you will see, you will find out what they need. To your best ability, meet their needs. And the last letter is S. Share our story. Share our story. Share the story of Jesus Christ, and share your story. How Christ made you a living stone. How Christ turned you into a full-time royal priest. Share our story. My wife Una and I, and that's what we did. We began with prayer. We would pray, Lord, Heavenly Father, you brought us to this street. There are 40 homes on our street. 20 on our side, 20 on across the street. 40 homes. And we know most of them by name. And we began praying. Lord, we pray for our neighbors. Okay? That's letter B. L, listen to their story. When our neighbors moved in across the street, we just build relationships. Okay? And we began listening to their stories, how they came to Edmonton, how they moved to this street, so forth and so on. Okay? And letter E, eat with them. We began having them over for tea, for dinner, for backyard barbecue. And guess what? They had us over dinner for tea and dinner. We just built relationships. S, serve, meet their needs. And it was so natural, so organic that they would say, hey, can you help us out with the ladder? Hey, Victor, what do you do with that shingles on my roof? Hey, how do you? We just met their needs to our best ability. And then last S is what? Share our story. We got to, when the timing was right, they asked us, and it was very natural, very organic, very relational. We simply shared Jesus' story and our story. And these people are on a journey, even now. So we bless them. So you, as a royal priest, you get to bless your neighbors. Second application, serve as a royal priest in a house church. Friends, look at this, look at this. See how tight these stones are? Okay? They're interconnected. In order for you to fully experience the fullness of Jesus Christ, that's in the local body, the local church, Ephesians 1. The fullness of Christ is manifest in the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul was saying in the context of a local church, are you a living stone in the temple of the Holy Spirit? Then are you touching other stones so intimately, so concretely? Are you doing life together with other living stones, with other priests? It is the will of God. It is the sovereignty of Jesus Christ that you belong in this biblically functioning, intimate, relational community. And we call it house church. We eat together, we do life together, we pray together, we open God's word together, and we invite people together, and we tell them about Jesus Christ. You need this. Not only do you need it, it's a command. Jesus wills that you belong in house church so that you may function as a living stone. Suppose you are not here. What's going to happen to the wall, friends? What's going to happen to the temple? Well, it's not entirely on you. It's up to Jesus Christ. But he's calling you to fill that gap. He's calling you to be that living stone so that together we may be built into the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me end with this. Apostle Peter writes, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Did you know Peter is quoting Hosea, the book of Hosea? It is directly from that prophecy, that prophet. Hosea was a prophet, a man of God, a holy man. And God called Hosea. Hosea, I want you to go and marry Gomer. Gomer was an adulterous woman. Hosea, out of obedience, marries Gomer. And Gomer, her adulterous lifestyle kept on going. He left Hosea, and she went and slept around with other people. She became like a prostitute. She had babies, children. They were not Hosea's. And things got so bad, she got sold into a slavery market. And God told Hosea, you go and redeem your adulterous wife. He goes, he buys her, and he cleanses her, and he brings her back home. This is about God's story with us. We are like the adulterous wife, Gomer. And God is saying, you are not a people, and not you are the people of God. I will say to those who called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Friends, all this out of the mercy of our holy God. He loves you. He loves me. And he wants to show mercy to you and me. And when he does, he calls us to the living stone and Jesus Christ. What's he doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? He is building you into the temple of the Holy Spirit as living stones. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, convict me, convict my friends in this online worship. We receive your mercy, O Holy God, and therefore we respond as you direct us to remain in the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be a part, a brick, a living stone in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And may we become royal priests to those around us, that they too may come into the temple of the Lord. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.